Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, I have been over there arguing with myself and the Holy Spirit for about 20 minutes, and I'm going to lose. I'm going to do something that I've probably done four times in 20 plus years of preaching, and I'm going to preach something again that I just preached yesterday. So 10% of this congregation, you're going to know the words I'm about to say. You're going to know the illustrations I'm going to use. You're going to know it all because yesterday I spoke at men's breakfast. I prepared a 12-minute sermon. So some of you can get excited. 12 minutes, sorry. 12 minutes to share with our men yesterday. And I just can't get away from the need, the urgency of sharing it with you. And so if you have your sermon notes in your handout today, those are useless. You can put your gum in them. Whatever you want to, they're not going to help you. We've got some great slides prepared for you. They're not going to help you either. Tech guys, if you want to try to get ahead of the game, in a few minutes I'll be in John chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. Just two verses all I'm going to share this morning, John 18. Today I want to talk to you about your favorite subject, which I know we all share the same favorite subject. The subject is failure. How many love to talk about failure? Especially when it's your own failure. As a matter of fact, if I just want to jump on the deep end into the deep end of the pool this morning, I would say this. A lot of us do like to talk about failure. We like to talk about other people's failure. But today I'm not here to talk about other people's failure. I'm talking about my failure. I'm talking about our own failure. If I were to ask you to name for me what's been the biggest failure of your last week, I wonder if you could identify what that failure would be. Some of you may think, well, Pastor, I've actually had a really good 7 days. I mean, the sun's been shining. I've been on vacation, whatever. I didn't really have a chance to fail. What if I bring it a little bit more narrow? Let me talk to all the parents in the room. If I were to ask you, what has been your biggest failure as a parent? Maybe you could think of something then. Or if I were to ask you, what's been your biggest failure as a husband? Biggest failure as a wife? Maybe that would tune in some things. I'll just tell you right now, I fail early and I fail often. I do. I fail early and I fail often. You may think I am, Pastor, you're being kind of risky by admitting that, but I just got a feeling you already knew that. Right? Some of you think that's news to you. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad I hid that from you. I fail in my diet. I fail being a good husband at times. My wife doesn't have to say amen there. I fail as a pastor. You don't have to say amen right there. I fail as a father a lot. Sometimes I fail as a father and my kids don't even know it, but I know it. You know, I know I go to bed thinking, man, I really made too big of a deal out of something that wasn't a big deal. I remember I was thinking about when I was 23 years old. I was a youth pastor. I really didn't know what I was doing. I've been doing it 3 or 4 years at that moment. And the district superintendent of our state, which, if you're not familiar with our fellowship, that just simply means the big cheese, right? He called me and said, hey, this Thursday, I'm going to be in your area, and I've heard of something going on awesome in your youth ministry, and I want to give you the first 5 minutes to share with all these lead pastors about what God is doing in your youth ministry. And I thought, this is it. Like, this is, Brother Howard, this is my breakthrough. This is the moment where I go from insignificant to significant. I mean, I'm 23 years old, and I am. The district superintendent has called me. This is my shot. And he told me he was starting the time together with me. I was the opening act. So I made sure I got to the church where I was supposed to be 30 minutes early. And I got there 30 minutes early and no one was there. And I sat in the parking lot for about 10 minutes thinking, I can't believe people would come to these things so late. And finally, at about 20 minutes to starting time, like, I thought, the pastor's not even here to open the door. The youth pastor's not even here to open the... it began to dawn on me that, is it possible I wrote down the wrong place? So I called back home, and our secretary answered the phone, and I asked her, I said, would you go in my office and tell me exactly where I wrote down on my calendar where I'm supposed to be tonight? And she wrote down her calendar, she read off of my calendar that I was supposed to be, and I could tell you the name of the place, but you wouldn't know it, but I was supposed to be at Ouachita Assembly, which is right outside of Sparkman, Arkansas. She goes, that's where you're supposed to be. She said, where are you? I said, I'm in Fordyce. But it's no big deal, because I know these here, South Arkansas Woods. I got 20 minutes before it starts. I know these back roads. I can get there. And so I drove, not like a preacher, through the backwoods of Arkansas, came into that little church in the middle of the sticks on two wheels to another empty church parking lot. So I called back home again. Thankfully, I got someone who would sneak back into my office and look at my calendar again. And this person figured out that actually my calendar, when our secretary looked at it, it was open to the wrong month. And so she just looked at where I was supposed to be next month, not where I was supposed to be that month. So this person actually flipped the calendar and told me I was supposed to be in El Dorado, Arkansas, which is like a good 45 to 50 minutes away. And so I drove again, not obeying the laws of the land, to pull in the parking lot just as people were walking out. And the district superintendent shook my hand and said, thanks for helping me out, buddy. Failure. I felt like a failure. Do you ever just feel like a failure? Failure usually ends up with myself, me, calling me names. You ever called yourself a name? I'm not going to tell you my favorite name for myself because you might call it for me. And I can handle it from myself, but I can't handle it from you. Sometimes failure ends up with other people calling you names. Please keep those to yourself. Failure sometimes ends with me disappointing others, but failure always ends with me disappointing myself. Failure is unavoidable. Failure is actually part of the way we learn. If we don't fail, we don't learn. You know, when my kids learn how to walk, I've got a video of when Stella learned how to walk. She learned how to walk in the church fellowship hall, and I've got a picture of it. It's a miracle that I have pictures of it, because she had tried it 100 other times and failed. But I just happened to have the camera on the one time she learned and actually made it more than a couple of feet. Most of us, if you've ever learned how to do anything, you've learned to fail before you learn how to succeed. Can I just tell you, as Jesus followers, I don't care how sincere you are. I don't care how much you shook when you were prayed for. I don't care how long the preacher held you under the water when you were baptized. It doesn't matter. If you're a Jesus follower, at some point you are going to blow it. More than once. As Jesus followers, we're going to fail. We're going to blow it. In John chapter 18 this morning, I want to talk to you about a guy who I resonate with, because he didn't blow it one time. He blew it over and over and over again. Some of you know who I'm talking about just by the fact I said he blew it more than once. His name is Simon Peter, right? How many know enough about the Bible to know that Simon blew it more than once? His mouth got him in trouble. His actions got him in trouble. His thoughts got him in trouble. One time Jesus told him, you think like the devil when you say such things. I mean, he blew it big time. Oh, repeatedly. In John chapter 18, I want to look at this text with me. Then Simon Peter. We're at the point of the crucifixion. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's been in the garden praying. Peter couldn't even stay awake for a prayer meeting with Jesus. And that's in itself a failure. So on the heel, or after that failure, we read this. Judas, temple guards come out. They're getting ready to arrest Jesus. And then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it. And he struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink from the cup the Father has given me?" I want to ask you to pray with me this morning. Father, I feel like you've just highlighted this passage in this subject matter. Or maybe it's just for me, but I believe it's for our church today. That we would not let failures in our life become failures of our faith. I also pray that we would not let the failures of others become failures in our faith. But we would let failure be a moment that our faith can be regrouped and realigned for the glory of God. So help me that, Lord, when I'm weak, instead of giving up, I let you be strong. I pray that we as a church would have grace for one another when we fall. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. I was reading this passage this past week, and I had to laugh out loud. I mean, I don't know if you ever do that when you just by yourself reading the Bible, but I just had to kind of laugh out loud. That I thought, man, before Jesus could even go to the cross, I mean, he's having a bad night already. But before he could even go to the cross, he has to perform a miracle to clean up Peter's mess. Right? Peter chops off this ear of this soldier. And can I tell you, this was not a Genzu knife demonstration. Peter is not trying to prove how skilled of an expert he is with a sword. The only reason he cut off Malchus's ear is because he missed. Right? It wasn't a warning shot. This was his best effort. If you ever feel like your best effort fails, there you go. He failed. Jesus had to perform a miracle just to clean up his mess. But can I tell you, Jesus has already performed more than one miracle to clean up your mess and my mess too, right? And Peter failed repeatedly. He failed to understand what was going on in this moment. He failed in his attempt to defend Jesus. In just a few moments, he would fail again in trying to stand for Jesus. If you look at this period of Jesus' life and Peter's life, I mean, it is repeat failure. It is just fall after fall after fall after fall, some big, some small. Repeated failure. But I wonder if there's something that we can learn from Peter's failure. I think there is. I had a gentleman tell me a long time ago, he said, "Greg, if you're not failing, you're not trying." As a believer, if we can look over the last 7 to 14 days of our life, if we don't see anything that we failed in when it comes to our faith, I wonder, are we really trying? When was the last time you failed in the area of trying to honor God? If you haven't failed, chances are we haven't tried. I can look at Peter and I could beat him up for failing so repeatedly and so often. But I'll say this, at least he tried. How many people were present when those soldiers showed up? Several disciples. Where are they? One of them is running away, leaving his clothes behind. I'm not sure what that's about, but it's in the Bible. They're cowering back, they're running away. At least Peter thought, "Hey, I've got a sword. I'll do something. It might be wrong, but I'm gonna do something for God. I don't know where his mind was. I mean, I think there was like 30 soldiers against Peter the fisherman who can't even hit a guy at point blank range. But at least he was willing to do something. I don't know if he's trying to cause a distraction so Jesus could run away, or if he really thought this is going to be like a Jonathan on armor bearer moment so I can just take them all. I don't know what he thought. But at least he tried to defend Jesus. At least he tried to make a difference. Other people are just paralyzed by the moment. Peter took action. Maybe he should have prayed. Maybe he should have said, Lord, what do you want me to do, before he started swinging? But he tried. Beyond that, Peter, he did stick with Jesus when others wouldn't. We get down on him. We've preached 1,000 times, myself included, about how Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He followed Jesus at a distance, listened to closely. But where are the others? Peter and John are the only two that followed at all into the place where Jesus was being tortured and mistreated. At least he was there. At least he was trying to make a difference. He stuck with Jesus when others wouldn't. I'm just challenging. I've brought up the subject of failure for 4 reasons today. I want to challenge us with as a church. Number one, here's my first challenge to you when it comes to failure. Choose action over inaction. Too many times, the fear of failure has sidelined too many kingdom men and women who could be difference makers. We're afraid we may not get it perfect, so we don't do anything. We're afraid we may not get it right 100% of the time. Look, can I just tell you, you are not going to get it right 100% of the time. But take action for God anyway. Maybe you tried to witness and bobbled it. I can tell you, I can give you a highlight reel of times when I've tried to share my faith and messed it up royally. I've had to call people on the phone and say, listen, that conversation went sideways. Here's what I meant to say. Maybe you tried to serve and you were inconsistent. Maybe you tried to trust God with your finances, but you backed out. Maybe you signed up to serve and you wigged out. Maybe you signed up to try to lead a Bible study or prayer in your home and you were intimidated and quit. And because you failed before, you haven't tried again. But I just want to challenge you, try to do something for God. I read a stat a few years ago, and I believe it still holds true, that 80% of believers will live their whole Christian life never sharing their faith with one single person. Pastor, what if they make fun of me? They're probably making fun of you anyway. Why not get made fun of for doing the right thing instead of being an LSU fan? I mean, come on, why not give them something to really... Most of us, well, I was talking to men yesterday, and I think I got 100% response that most men learn best by doing. I have never read the instruction manual to an iPhone. I've never read the instruction manual to my computer. I don't read the instruction manual to putting furniture around together until after I mess it up. I do read the instruction manual to cars I purchase sometimes, but only because I'm weird and a geek. But I don't read them before I drive the thing. We learn it. If you want me to learn how to do something, just hand it here, right? We learn by doing. I bring that up to say I think some of that our faith grows the same way. Didn't James say that I'll show you my faith by what I do? And when we do nothing for God, we learn nothing from God. Some of us, the next spiritual step in our spiritual growth isn't going to come from the next book we read by the newest Christian celebrity. It's not going to be by watching the right YouTube video. It's going to be by putting one foot in the other and doing something for God you've never done before. Well, Pastor, that feels nervous. I'm afraid I might fail, and you might. But can I tell you, God is faithful that when we fall, He's always there to pick us up. I'll never forget the first time I preached a message. I was about 15 years old. My youth pastor gave me the youth service to preach in. I had 3 pages of those yellow note tabs, you know what I'm talking about? I still write my sermons on those, by the way. It gets to digital later. But I had 3 solid pages of notes. And I walked into that youth service. I mean, I don't know who was a famous preacher in those days. I've slept since then. But whoever the people were that could bring it, you know, I was pretty convinced I was about to walk in and I was about to bring it. And I was hoping I could get done in the 30 minutes my youth pastor gave me. 4.5 minutes later, I've preached through all 3 pages of my notes, and instead of being bold and confident, I cried my eyes out the whole 3 to 4 minutes I was speaking. I mean ugly cry. Ugly, like, it, you know, ugly. And I remember I asked the teenagers to bow their heads and let's pray, and I gave a salvation altar call, still just snotting and crying the whole time. And when I looked up, 2 students gave their life to Jesus that morning. And here's what I decided. Lord, if I have to cry and snot and bumble and fail through every message, if that's the only way you can use me that way. Sometimes we got to get past our fear of failure and get a bigger fear of being disobedient to what God has called us to do. So take action. Value obedience over your fear. If you've not failed, let me say this, and I'll move on from this point. If we haven't failed recently in our service to God, maybe we should view that as an indictment and not a commendation. Because I think if we're doing things, we're going to mess up at times. We're going to blow it. But God's going to help us. And we're going to discover that God can even use our mess ups to bring glory to Himself. He's not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our willingness to say, Lord, win, lose, or draw, I just want to serve You. Number 2, knowing that we all blow it from time to time, let's learn to show compassion to other men and women who have blown it. I know I've talked a lot about failure this morning. Can we just level the playing field? How many of you would just admit this morning, Pastor, I am in the I blow it club? Right? I blow it. I blow it. It's not because I don't love God. It's not because I'm trying to not live a life of conviction and commitment. But with all my best efforts to doing that stuff, I still blow it. Well, if you still blow it doing your best efforts, then why don't we have compassion on others who blow it when they're trying to give their best to God too? Ecclesiastes says, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for the work. And if one falls down, someone else will be there to help them up. But whoa! To the person who, when they fall alone. Can I just challenge us today? Can we be a church that commits, and when someone in our church falls, they will not fall alone, because I will run through hell and back to get to them, for they will not be alone when they fall. We need to give each other permission to blow it from time to time. I told the men yesterday, I love to play golf, and I haven't played near enough this year. I think I've played one time in this year. But when I take friends with me to play, a lot of times they're learning to play golf. It's intimidating. It really, I think it's the most intimidating sport there is. I mean, just knowing where the number one tee box is can be intimidating in a lot of places. Where would I go? I mean, the whole thing can be intimidating. But I tell people all the time, you cannot hit a ball to a place I haven't already been. Because if you play a lot, you miss a lot. Not when you become a professional. One of the greatest people who ever played the golf, his name is Phil Mickelson. What's he good at? Yeah, but what's he good at in golf? Flop shots, right? He can hit the ball backwards. He can do it. There's a thing on YouTube where he hit the ball within a foot of the hole off of a porta potty. I mean, this guy is amazing with a chip with a wedge in his hand. You know why he's so amazing with a wedge in his hand? Because he can't hit a green. He can hit the ball anywhere except for where you're supposed to. And I think he made more money last year than anyone else playing golf. I just want to tell you, too many times we walk around with this attitude like, I would never do that. And if we'll be honest, most of us have already done that or something similar. Instead of, I heard one person say that the church is the only army in the world where they shoot their wounded. Come on. Instead of running from people when they fail, let's run to them when they fail. I challenge you, the next time you see a person fail, don't excuse it, but show some compassion. When Jesus was trying to share this principle, he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And he told the story of a priest and a Levite who walked by a man who was injured and left for dead in the ditch. It would be easy for those two, you might define those first two guys as people that, it's not that they hated the person in the ditch, they were just kind of indifferent to them. We got to be careful when we're indifferent to people's misery. I think the next time you see someone in a hard time, maybe whether it's personal failure, financial failure, spiritual failure, no matter what it is, I think two words have changed my life in certain times. And those two words were people, especially men, who have walked up to me and just simply said two words, me too. I've felt that way too. I've failed that way too. I've been there too. I've disappointed my family that way. I've disappointed my church that way. Me too. And when I see that they have done what I have done, but yet God has used them beyond where they once were, that brings hope that if God restored them, God can restore me. If God can still use them, God can still use me. If God redeemed them, God can redeem me. Sometimes you just need to let someone know how you have failed in the past so they can have hope for their future. So have compassion. And number three, have more than compassion. Encourage them to try again. Surely after Peter has blown it in the garden, blown it in the prayer meeting, blown it when he denies him three times, after all of these failures, surely Jesus would just tell Peter, listen, that was nice. Thanks for the last 3 years, but in this New Testament church I'm building, you know, we're going to ask you to kind of sit in the side. But no, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, listen, Peter, you're going to fail. But when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Jesus had a plan beyond Peter's failure. Can I tell you, Jesus has a plan beyond your failure and my failure. He doesn't plan our failures, but He's got a plan beyond our failures. Failure should make us better. Megan said it earlier. Failure should make us better, not bitter. Number four. I'll close with this. Megan, if you want to come back. when we fail, make sure we fall in the right direction. Now, I hope you don't misinterpret that I've come in here saying failure, spiritual failure doesn't matter, that we should just not even try to live for God or something like that. That would be a total false, but sometimes I say one thing and people hear another, so I'm just trying to kill the thought before it leaves the room. But we can't let our fear of failure keep us from trying to do something for the Lord. And when we fall, we need to make sure we're following the right direction. Peter is sort of known for saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. But in most of these failures, if you were to examine his motives, you would have to say his motives were right. Actions wrong, motives were right. I mean, he sank, another failure. He sank walking on the water, but he was walking towards Jesus on the water. He failed in our text today, chopped off Malchus's ear. He failed in killing the guy, but he also failed in recognizing what the moment is about. I mean, he's kind of a double failure in one moment there. But you got to say his motive was right, right? He was trying to defend Jesus. He failed Jesus around the burn pile the night that Jesus was being betrayed and beaten. But he denied Jesus. I mean, he did it. Wrong thing. But he was trying to stick with Jesus when no one else would. He failed, but every time he failed, he was failing trying to do something for God, not running from God. We got to make sure that when we fail, our failure is on our way to Him, not running from Him. And if you failed, while you're down, when you get up, make sure you get up going God's direction, not someone else's direction. So I've got two main takeaways. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Number one, don't be afraid of failure. Don't believe that your failure is final. Just decide this morning that when you get up from this failure, you're getting up in the right direction. The Word says that the righteous may fall seven times, but they get back up. And today, this might be a get back up moment. And today, you walked in the room and maybe you've been clothed with defeat. Maybe you've just been clothed with failure. Maybe you just feel like, man, I have blown it. And you have felt nothing but condemnation. Maybe you felt that way for an hour, a day, or a year, but you say, Pastor, I need to shake off this failure today. I pretty much believe that my failure was final, but today I want to tell you, your failure does not have to be final. Your failure can be a part of your testimony of what God has done in you and what He wants to do through you in your future, if you'll let Him today. And today's one of some of you, He's wanting to break you out of the shell of failure. And if that's you today, I want to pray that this will be a God moment for you, that the failure of your life will be broken off, redefined for a new future. If that's you today, would you just say, that's me, Pastor, pray for me. I need to come out of my shell of failure. I've been letting that thing define me for too long. Amen? 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 Secondly, church, I want to challenge us. Can we try, when I say we, I mean me and you, can we try some new things for God this week? Even if you failed in your past, would you simply try again? I don't think failure is final until you decide, I'm not going to try again. Some of you this morning, you felt the Lord lead you in a direction more than once, and some of you have said, well, Pastor, I've tried that before. You've told the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I've tried that before. And I just want to come and tell you, try it again. Try it again. Pray again. believe again, follow again, commit again, take action again. And then my third thing is, let's not be those who condemn people when they're following in the right direction. When they're following, if they fall, when they're trying to make a difference for God, let's encourage them. Try to make a difference again. Let's lift them in prayer. Let's encourage them to, hey, just because you fell, don't let it be final. Will you let the Lord use you to lift someone this week that's in failure? And I want to ask you right now, I didn't do this yesterday, but I want to ask you to do it with me right now. Would you begin to pray to the Holy Spirit? Would you allow Him to direct to you the face of a friend or a loved one that you know that they may be living with a sense of failure because of a hurt that happened to them, because of something they tried to do for the Lord that didn't pan out the right way. If the Lord would bring someone's name and face to your mind today, would you simply just commit in this moment? You know, I'm going to do this week. Put a time frame on it so we can't just procrastinate till Jesus comes. Put a time frame on it. This week, I'm going to reach out to them and let them know that they are not, they may have failed, but they're not a failure. And just as God has used them before, God can use them again. Would you let the Lord use you in that way? Father, I pray this morning, our closing moments of time, I pray that those who have tried and failed in the past would not let that be the final word spoken over their life. Failure is not their identity. Their identity is in you. So Lord, even if they've, Lord Peter, he had to work one more miracle just to get him out of his mess. Lord, would you work a miracle this morning if necessary to get people out of their messes today? Lord, would you just, in a quick hurry, clean up the destruction that our failures may have caused internally and externally for us? Lord, work a miracle if necessary so that we can be used by you again. And God, I also pray that you'll use each of us as an agent of change this week. Use us as an agent of encouragement to go to those who maybe they feel like their life has been defined by failure. Their life has been defined by disappointment. Their life has been defined by something that happened to them or through them or something, a bad choice they made. God, would you use us to be people of encouragement, to encourage the hurting, the lost, the broken, to let them know they can be healed and whole again. Because with you, failure is never final. Lord, you took this faulty man, Peter, and it was him that you said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Lord, he became one of the leading fathers of the New Testament church. Lord, if you can turn his failure into a glorious future that's used mightily for you, certainly you will do the same for every man and woman, every young person in this room today. They'll simply submit their failure to you and never believe the lie that their failure is final. Lord, help us to go in you and to grow in you this week. And I pray for those who feel like they've been in a shell of failure. Lord, break them out this morning. Redeem them this morning. Release them from every bit of chains, every chain of guilt, shame, depression, regret, sorrow, hurt, bitterness. Release them from all of that this morning so they can serve freely and they can follow you wholeheartedly with faith and with fruit that remains. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.